it's time for Measure Twice.
Welcome to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. I said home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger next to C. Kramer Interiors and Hoosier Hardwood Floors. Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Chris, you were in Ireland.
I was.
And they didn't keep you, so that's good. Joel and I thought they might keep you.
We were afraid of that for sure.
Stalking your social media, you fit right in there in Ireland, I thought. With the Tam, what was the one where he was like, it looked like a glamour shot where you had your like the Tam hat on.
Yeah.
You're like, top of the morning.
I don't wear hats, but I actually like that one.
That one looked great on him. You familiar with the picture?
Yeah.
That was in the Kong, city of Kong, which we were taking a hike.
In Kong.
Not King Kong, but Kong.
Did you love the architecture there?
Oh my gosh.
You mentioned the houses were nice.
Beautiful. Meticulously maintained. All of them.
Now,
it was rare to find something that was not pristine.
So are they, I've never been there. So were you in neighborhoods? Like you could see a neighborhood house, or were they all
country.
Nice and pristine because you were in a special place?
We were just driving through the countryside and all the, what do you call a sheep ranch? Right.
We can go with sheep ranch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My grandson called them shranches. So
okay. I can do that. Shranch.
So anyway, you have a lot of, we are in the country, a farm community, the sheep but all their houses were, I was really surprised at how large they were. They look primarily Georgian style, but they were all in all stucco. And pristine.
Really? Stucco, huh?
Very little brick, almost no brick, and
might there be brick behind the stucco?
Probably. Or stone.
Right. Like actual stone.
But they stucco over it.
Right. When you say mostly Georgian, what do you mean? Like describe that.
The symmetrical two chimneys.
Yeah,
on each side,
Lots of balance.
The windows, usually like maybe five windows at the top and two on each side of the door.
Like the classic.
Very classic.
Yeah. I just assume everything's old, don't you, Joel?
It is.
Yeah.
Like when you think about it, it's like, well, every one of these houses is 300 years old. I don't know. Like,
at least two.
At least two. Wow. I mean, they casually have things that are 300 years old there.
Or 800.
Yeah. Or 800.
The Ashford Castle is 800 years old, and it's now a hotel, and it's huge. A lot of ruins. What surprised me is a lot of church ruins. So, abbeys.
Yeah, there was churches. A super Catholic area, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Almost 100%.
Even Northern Ireland started that way, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but there might be why there's a bunch of ruined ones. that's really neat, though. You said the houses are Georgian. Did you get to go into any of those?
No, we went. Our Airbnb was built in 1856.
Oh, so it was young,
and was
super brand new.
Yeah, it is now because they restored it. It was almost a ruin when they bought it, but they
really
spent 5 years renovating it. It was really beautiful. I didn't want to leave.
Really? What's different about that bed and breakfast than when you would find in the USA? Is it basically the same? Like, I mean, I get it. They're going to have beds and stuff. I get that. But I mean, is there a striking difference in the style in Ireland compared to here?
European design is generally different. There's a lot. They use a lot of color. They have a lot of really beautiful tile that I haven't seen around here. And they were not afraid to use color. They use it differently than we do.
Really?
But it was so well done.
How do they use it differently?
Yeah, that's so
more color. Not nothing was neutral. Everything was painted a color. They weren't concerned that the living room was green and the trim in the living room was green. And then, you know, the foyer was black or, you know, so they kind of mixed things, but it worked really, it flowed really well.
Interesting. So, and is it bright?
Not garish bright, but comfortable. It was really cool. It was really, really neat the way they did it.
In my mind, I think it's not as bright.
It's not as bright. No.
Because be all the rain that I think of, like, yeah, I don't know.
It does rain.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's you're right on the North Sea up there, right?
Yeah. We had a lot of really good weather, though. A lot of sun, which was unusual.
That might explain the stucco, though, because there's a lot of weather and it's probably just easier to maintain. Wouldn't you say, Joel, like the stucco?
I suppose. I don't know. I guess I didn't think about the fact that there wouldn't be really that much brick.
It's not the stucco we see here. It's, I don't know how to describe it. More texture, heavier, almost like concrete.
Oh, really? I mean, I would think that would hold up to weather. I think there's a lot of function stuff. I would think, you know, I have a stereotypical view of Ireland, and it's like, oh, could be windy, lots of open space, stuff's blowing around, you know.
But you're not wrong.
Yeah. Some sheep in the air.
It's just, it's incredibly beautiful, incredibly green. So.
It is the Emerald Isle.
Very hilly and,
really green. Well, it's like velvety green too, right? Yes. Like soft looking.
There, it's weather is kind of like it is here. Over there, and so the trees hadn't budded, weren't in bloom yet, but it was still really green.
Right. My friend who's been, well, you've been to Scotland and Ireland, he was like, Scotland's like Ireland, but you take all the grass away and leave the rock. You know,
Scotland's beautiful.
Yeah. But it's pretty neat because you give us some interesting perspective, because I would wonder if you were a remodeler there, Joel, you would... God, what would you rely on as your, you know, like when you come here, you're always talking about, I'm going to restore this porch or I'm going to.
Right.
It's like, I wonder what's behind those walls. You know, like how do you.
I'm sure there'd be a learning curve there.
If you had a stone wall that you had to add an addition to, how do you even do that?
Like I said, there'd be a learning curve.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because. In the Airbnb that we rented, I believe the foundation, the walls are stone, because in the kitchen, they told us they had to use lime plaster.
Mm-hmm.
And they plaster it right on the stone.
Right. Are there things hanging on the walls, like shelves?
Yeah. Oh, the kitchen was really cool. Because it looked like it was the exterior wall at one point, but all the stonework was left exposed. And they had changed, it was really laid out. Really nice.
How do you hang something on a stone wall?
Very carefully.
I mean, you have to drill into the stone?
Yeah.
You'd have to, I suppose.
Because stone doesn't give. I mean, there's no. It's pretty neat. The kitchens there, are they? Well, it was a bed and breakfast, so it's got to be giant because they're cooking for a bunch
of people. Yeah, it was a good size, but it was isolated from the rest of the. Was behind the dining room, but you had to go out of the kitchen into the foyer and into the dining room.
Right.
And that was the one thing I kept thinking is there's no entrance to the dining room from the kitchen other than going out and around, which we wouldn't normally do.
Right. We're talking about Chris went to Ireland and he brought back, well, now he's Irish.
Yeah, I've been looking at houses. No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be funny.
I just figured he'd stay and be a designer there then.
That's, he should.
I don't know that really exists. It has to at some point, but I didn't see any furniture companies or anything.
Everything is just 1,000 years old.
Stands and then sleeps on the ground.
Just like a sheep.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. But Chris's trip to Ireland, he was, he's good at posting. Like if you were to stalk Chris and find it. You'd see some really cool pictures of the area, including, you know, Chris looking dapper in an Irish hat. We're assuming he drank a lot of beer and whiskey because
more Guinness than anything else.
Yeah.
Pretty much all Guinness.
Guinness is pretty much everywhere, right?
Oh, my gosh. If you don't drink Guinness, you're...
Really?
No.
There's no competitor? I was like, there has to be
what
like
What was really funny was, okay, we were in a town of 60 people, okay? So there's 13 of us. Everybody, you know, we go... There's two pubs, one across the street from each other in a town of 60 people. And so we went almost every night. And Sunday was, we went Easter Sunday, Monday in Ireland's a national holiday. So we didn't know that. So we went to the pub at 9:15 and
AM.
They don't open until noon. So anyway, we thought, well, we'll just get a pint and then we'll go back. 3 hours later, we're still there.
Well, on that note, when we come back, we'll finish up with our conversation. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything, windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger, next to C. Kramer Interiors and Hoosier Hardwood Floors. Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Chris came back from Ireland. Now he's strictly emerald themed. Everything, everything will be green.
I put the morning into you.
They don't say that though there, do they? No. They probably love it when Americans come over there and they're like, top of the morning. They're like, shut up.
It's foreigners.
And we know this. Over there in the British Isles, they're not afraid to curse at you. That's for sure. I'm not wrong. They use curse words a lot.
Do they? Didn't hear it.
No? Because you didn't understand it. They were saying it in Gaelic.
They were saying it in Gaelic, yeah.
Did you hear people talking Gaelic in there? Yeah. Like just conversing in Gaelic?
Mm-hmm. And on the Aran Island, that's they only speak English during the tourist season, and then it's 100% Gaelic after that.
Did you pick up any Gaelic words?
No. I was trying. All the road signs are in Gaelic, and then English underneath.
Interesting. That's cool. So here... You know, what's interesting is that you go to Europe, then you go to a country in Europe, then you go to a section of a country in Europe or something, and the architecture is the same, right? Because I was picking up that it didn't change too much.
Not really. All the towns look the same, like Galway and Dublin kind of look the same, some of the architecture.
And I'm just going to be judgy here. It looks the same in a charming way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where when we see a neighborhood here that looks the same, it's not charming. You know?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think they've got different things going on. They've got old. It's old. They're not afraid to paint buildings different colors. So you get this really charming row of buildings that are painted
all different colors.
All different colors.
Yeah, they're all different. I see that a lot in like when you see like Denmark and you look at Holland. When you look at pictures of the houses on the water in Holland, they're pastel like, but they're all different. Like it's like the paint store literally sold different paint to everybody. You know, like there's no repeat. It's very similar in city, in towns, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you go out to the countryside, I'm assuming it's pretty much white.
Kind of an off-white, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Right. What, you know, this
sheep
is
gorgeous. Sheep will white. Just absolutely.
Well, so the sheep can just blend in case there's a fox.
They spray paint the sheep.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They put big numbers on them or something, right?
Yeah, they get it, and not the whole sheep, but their spray paint. Rear ends are spray painted colors so that they know who's.
Sheep is who. Yeah, you know, what's ironically like out west, right, in the grasslands of America, they do the same thing with the cattle. They brand cattle, but they really do paint the cattle because same situation. You might have 1,000 sheep out there. And then there's a company that they hire to herd them. So they might be herding four different farmers' sheep. You know, like,
yeah.
Same thing here out in the grasslands out there. It's like, well, I work for these five cattle people. And I only know that because a friend of mine, his job in high school was to paint cattle. That's what he did. He, you know, just like spray painted what he had to put on there. Like,
do you have a stencil?
I think he did have a stencil. I think he did. But he also did the ear thing.
Oh, poke,
tagging him.
Tagging him.
Yeah. Which was less fun, he said.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah. But at any rate, getting back to Measure Twice,
yeah.
The show you're listening to about making your home's potential. When you travel, what dawned on me is when you travel, you come back with a little something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it into your space, right? You whether it's an actual something like cardigans in Chris's closet, but or something, whatever it is, a knickknack's not the word I'm looking for, but you could also come back with a concept,
mm-hmm.
right? That kind of commemorates your, you know, where you've been. And I don't know why I was thinking of like English garden, like things like that you might not ever consider for your house, but then you go on vacation to Europe and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. That would be neat to do it.
Yep.
Our house.
Are you thinking about doing that at yours, Chris? Well, an English garden.
I love an English garden. What intrigued me was the garden where they had the trees growing over the
path.
Over the path, and they were trained around the caging system.
Like a trellis?
Yeah.
Like an actual trellis.
How did they do this? Because it was square.
It took 1,000 years.
It must take decades.
It takes time.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I mean, it was absolutely beautiful and long. And I went, I would love to figure out how they did that, because I would think that would be really cool to do.
Chris went to Ireland and we're kind of talking about some of the things that he saw there, some architectural, some landscape and things like that. And that I would think that if you're building an actual trellis, right? Cause right. That would be how trellis, that's like what a trellis is, right?
You know, right.
But this is without a structure, right?
No, it had a structure.
It did have a structure. Well, somebody built something
in order to train plants to grow in a certain direction. It'd have to be
right.
There'd have to be a structure there.
And of course, this was at a castle, so they had groundspeople that I'm sure had. But it was like, how did they do that? I would love to know how they do that, because I could take that concept and do something like that back home. But I won't live long enough.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. They had the long play there.
What kind of trees?
That's the other thing. We didn't know. My son-in-law took a picture. You know how you can do the leaf thing and it tells you what it is?
And it came back in Gaelic and they didn't understand what it was.
Yeah.
But I feel like in our society here, we do not do the long play stuff. Like my grandfather's house, he built paths through the woods that he owned behind his house, like real paths, not for him, but my uncle inherited the house. Now his kids inherited that house.
It's like,
so my point is that my grandfather had long play. Like he's right. Like, I'm not going to use this, but they will. You don't see that a lot.
Yeah.
But there, you know, this house has been in the family for 800 years, you know, like, I'm assuming, right? They're looking at pictures of the trellis. Is that what you're looking at? Oh, so, wow. You mean, so I'm looking at it. There's a structure and it's like a, I wouldn't call it a tree, Chris. I mean, that's more like
like a tree, but it's
like a bushy tree.
Yeah.
And if you can imagine, this tree is just growing around the trellis.
It's trained to work, to go around the trellis system.
And it's completely square. So somebody built like a square trellis for this to train the tree, and that's look at that. And it's what is that, about 150 feet long
at least,
hallway of tree.
I don't know, called the walled garden.
Interesting. And if you wanted to build that, I think it wouldn't take 100 years to build that.
Building it, no, but
I don't know, I think you could, well, you You'd have to find some sort of tree that you could.
Exactly. That grew a little bit faster.
Trains like that or yeah. Like that.
When
I would say a couple of years.
Yeah, a few years. Right. I mean,
that's Ashford Castle.
He's showing, we're having a slideshow on the radio. It's difficult.
It's giant.
It was ginormous.
It's, it doesn't fit in one picture, right?
There.
He's like 2 miles away to get it all in the. But they have castles there. But for us, going back to the long play thing, if you built something like the walled garden with the train tree, could you use that in any house? Like, would it not fit in certain houses?
No,
like,
I think you could incorporate that into any of your landscaping.
You just have to dedicate. You have to be dedicated to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But you're saying, so no matter what the style of your house is, you can do that.
Right.
Outside. You just have to have the...
Patience. And knowledge, I guess.
Right.
I'm not a gardener, so...
No, but I'm sure a gardener here, I'm sure a landscaper here could...
Yeah, you could say, hey, this is what I want.
Right, and then just do it. Building the structure, I think, is the...
Easy part.
Yeah, but also the part that I think is a very important part. Because,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's your foundation.
Exactly. It's a foundation for that. I think that's pretty neat. I don't think that we look at that. We tend to like clean lines. And I don't, when I'm looking at that, that doesn't, even though it's so structured, it doesn't look like linear. It's not like clean.
Right.
But it's cool. I bet when that blooms, it's magnificent.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure birds are in and out of it too. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
See, typical American. I go to the, well, I don't know about those birds.
Or bees.
Well, when I come back, let's talk about some long play things you can do in your house. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and we're brought to you by... Oh, you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Chris went to Ireland, so we figure we're going to incorporate it. And we did the first Braille slideshow. No, I'm just kidding. But Chris, you experienced a bunch of things over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel, in your experience... Have you had people come back and say, well, I saw this thing here and I want to do this thing here?
Yeah. 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 You know, people will have seen something on a vacation or whatever and say they want to bring that into their home for sure.
And is it all just the same? I mean, if you're in Ireland and you have a stone house, I mean, it's made of stone. I'm sure they have code there, you know, like electric code and all that stuff.
There's code everywhere.
Yeah. There's code everywhere. But I'm sure they remodel and add on there. I can't help, but I can't get past that. If somebody, we don't have all brick homes here. So I would imagine it's a little easier here to add like something.
Well, just to, you know, talking about, okay, you travel, you see something, you want to incorporate it back home. One of the things that I saw over there was when our Airbnb, the tiles that they used were beautiful. We have some things that are similar, but not quite the same. I would love to find the tile, and that would be something easy to incorporate
right here.
So, because it had a lot of charm and a lot of personality to the tile that I haven't seen the exact same things here.
It's just they're not. Is it because of taste? Like the people
I think
here,
it's more design than taste.
More design. Gotcha. Because there might not be available here because not many people, you know, it hasn't broken in here.
Or Maybe it's not cost effective to bring it over here. I don't know.
Right.
That very likely could be it.
So, but there are things similar, but there were, it was so, yeah, I was thinking, man, I would like to find out where these tiles came from because I could, I think I could use these.
I would think that there's not a lot of wood there.
Oh, there's going to be.
Not on not structurally. Houses, you mean?
Yeah.
Roofs and floors.
Roofs and floors.
Yeah. That's it.
Is it, there's a, is there a lot of forest there?
Mm-mm.
No. No, because the it's been inhabited for 2,000 years, so the forests have
got
been...
Got a lot of pastures.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's just how it is anyway. I don't know that it was ever heavily forested.
I don't know.
They were great. There was a great forest up there. That's where the European black bear, you know, like, that's where they were. But I'm not knocking people. People clear land and build farms and stuff like that. It was only 200 years ago in this country... If you went to the North Atlantic area, Massachusetts to New Jersey, there were no forests because they were completely cleared by colonial, you know, like the colonial settlers. And I thought that was interesting. The forests back east are young because the settlers cleared them completely. You know, and I thought that was cool. And in Europe, in those places that are inhabited with like sheep and pastures, there were lots of wood, but now not, it's all like imported. So it's like, that makes sense with stone. What do they have a lot of?
Oh yeah.
Field stones.
Yeah.
And they use them so mm-hmm. much that isn't their weight based on like the average stone weight? You can be like
no
nine
idea,
stones.
But,
you
mean,
can be.
Their roads are all lined with them, right, Chris?
Yeah, they sure are.
Well, what I'm saying is that stones like, that's a thing there. Like that's that's a commodity. Oh, yeah. That's like a
when you were mentioning roofs, do they, well, you were saying about the thatched roof, but do they do stone?
Almost everything is slate.
That's what I wondered.
A slate roof. When you see a house here with a slate roof, do you think European? If you were to start at a roof, look at somebody's roof and your eyes go down, would you expect to see a European style house after
more
that?
More traditional, like classic Georgian style kind of thing, or
you don't see many of them.
No, you think expensive.
Yes, exactly what I think when I see a slate.
Yeah, the only house I can think of off the top of my head locally, and yes, we do stalk neighborhoods and look at houses.
Yep,
is on Twickenham. I'm not going to give.
There's
the
some Elkhart.
Yeah, there's some around. It's just not commonplace at all.
They're just so expensive.
About 5 years ago, I saw a guy on that particular roof, like repairing.
Expensive too.
All I can think of is like, oh my goodness. They're good roofs though.
The last.
Oh yeah.
But you're going to pay for it up front.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would imagine they're heavy, right, Joel? If you're putting a slate roof on, to take that into a consideration when you're making the frame under that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you gotta figure what your dead load is and things like that.
And then, when you figure the bed load, I said bed load. That's me. I'm a bed load. is it bigger wood or closer together?
Or a combination of both.
Is it a combination of both?
It just depends on what you're doing.
Right.
And now there's the composite material that looks like slate or even shake roofing.
Yeah.
That is real popular.
What's your opinion?
Slate. I don't like the shake looking stuff.
I've not seen the shake used anywhere. I've just seen samples of it. But if you have a shake roof and you want to, those are really expensive.
Yeah.
When you say shake roof, explain.
Cedar shake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you're saying you don't think they're quite there yet in reproducing the look, right?
It might look a little plasticky.
Yeah, that's my feeling. With the slate, just because of how the nature of slate, it doesn't look, that's come a long way.
Yeah, it
slate
has.
Composite has come a long way.
It's just not going to age like slate. It's always going to look like new slate.
Does it fade over time?
Slate?
Everything fades over
time,
even if they say it won't.
It gets that little washy.
It gets hot.
You're talking about actual slate.
No, I'm talking about the faux.
Oh, the faux slate. Okay.
Because it's made of recycled material. But I mean, initially it looks good, but I can see that fading over time.
Getting a little...
It doesn't have the longevity of actual slate.
Well, not much does.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It beats asphalt.
It's what mountains are made of.
What's that?
It's what mountains are made of.
Slate? Yeah, no kidding.
Like...
Or granite.
Or granite, right. Imagine a granite roof. You know you've arrived if you have a granite roof. That would be porous.
That's though, a right? castle.
That is a castle, right. You're there. We're talking about roofs and faux shake, faux slate, just to get everybody up to speed on what we're talking about. If you're putting actual slate on the roof, that is a financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be equal to the cost of what it took to build what's under it, right? I mean,
not quite, but it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I would think. But they have faux versions of that.
Mm-hmm. And still hefty.
Yeah, still hefty. But when you look at, you can't really tell how it's going to fade, right? Like you can't, you don't have any control over that at all.
No, you don't know how stuff is going to wear or fade.
Yeah.
You know, do you have shade during the summer?
And right.
Some of it might be exposed. Some of it may not be. So you might get a variation of color over time.
I can't help but think, though, if you have like the faux shake or slate or that composite material, you know, if you're under trees and you get a lot of leaves and debris on your roof, that's got to be a plus. Because I can't imagine that it, as susceptible as like asphalt.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know? I mean, that's an advantage.
Having leaves and branches on your
when you have, you're in an area where you tend to get that.
Oh,
that's got to be an advantage to the homeowner because it won't wear out the same as an asphalt shingle. The composite's hardier.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the warranties are on them, but
I can't remember.
It's at least 50 years.
I thought it was 50, but
is it harder to put that on the roof than any other roofing material, Joel?
It takes more time.
Don't they screw it in?
A lot of it's screwed in. Yeah.
Slate. I know. I think they use
copper nails.
So is the slate, if you're using real actual slate, using copper nails.
Yep.
Oh my god. Like everything about slate is pricey.
I thought they did stainless too.
They might. Those both are expensive, and it's all handwork.
Yeah.
Are they all drilled?
They're pre-drilled.
You drill each
Typically,
thing?
They're pre-drilled.
Pre-drilled. Okay. Because man. Holes.
But the other thing you have to be cautious about when you're using slate is you can't just. You have to kind of. There's going to be a pattern, a color pattern. To it because it's a natural stone, so they have to usually work out of multiple boxes.
Oh, yeah.
To blend it. Otherwise, you'll get
you'll see where the shading to where there was a
new box right here.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Well, when we come back, let's finish up with roofing. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you by, or in part by, Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with a showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Well, this show started in Ireland, and we're ending up on your roof, like Santa Claus. But we're talking about like slate and faux slate, and you know, basically we're just dissecting the difference between like Ireland and here. In Ireland, the roofs, you saw slate roofs in
everywhere, almost 100%.
But
other than the two thatched roofs.
There's a few thatched roofs, but not very many.
Why would you have a thatched roof?
Anyway. It was traditional. It was a traditional roof.
But like actual thatched
roofs. They're beautiful. But they're very expensive and they don't last.
Because it's hay. It's,
yeah.
Thatch.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And then you got, they said maybe you'll get maybe 15 years out of it. So you saw mainly.
And then you're replacing it.
Yeah. You saw mainly commercial buildings that had thatch for,
really?
For the tourist, I think.
So on the exteriors, then, was there a lot more copper trim? Would you say?
No.
Really?
Nope. Nope. It was dark. Like a bronze, but not, no copper. I didn't see, you know, come to think of it, I didn't see any copper.
So what was the trim? Wood?
There wasn't any trim. Stone.
Huh.
What were their valleys done? Did valleys on roofs?
You know, didn't pay that. You know why you didn't pay attention to them? Because they're more Georgian, and so your pitch is this
way. It's probably not too many gables off of.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, so no
straight,
gables.
Mostly straight roofs.
Yeah. Straight. Okay. If you can imagine, like, your
even
pointy houses.
Came up?
I honestly couldn't gawk because I was driving.
and it was a white knuckle driving.
Yeah, white knuckle drive. And if I went look over there, I would probably hit a wall.
Chris off air was explaining the terror of driving in Ireland.
Yes.
Compared to when you were in Italy, what's the terror value? Is it more terrifying?
More terrifying.
More terrifying than Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Yeah, it is.
Because of the roads have no shoulders?
And no shoulders, and they're curvy and hilly, and oof.
Well, let's point out what he means by no shoulders. He doesn't mean you fall 2,000 feet to your death. He means that there's stone piled up directly on the
stone
side of the asphalt.
Fences are right at the edge.
Yes.
Yeah, or hedges.
I would take a hedge. You can brush a hedge and not feel
probably
bad.
Did.
Were everybody's rear view mirrors, side mirrors, like scratched up? I couldn't imagine.
No.
Rental cars had to be. Had to be.
But I need, you know, my daughter was my navigator and I probably took 5 years off her life. So it's like, she's like, you're too far to the left. Get over.
That's funny.
I would rather hit the hedgerow than the oncoming traffic. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Any day.
But basically the houses there, did you see if there was a different house than a Georgian house? It must have stuck out like a sore thumb. So I'd imagine you didn't see too many of those.
What I did see was they took the structure and did modern windows. And what I mean by modern, they took, like, on the front there was a stairway, they had a long window that opened up to the staircase that was very modern, and they put all these real, so they took a traditional shape and added a very modern architecture to it, which was really pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
And they're not afraid to do things like that over there.
Right, cut through stone to make a big
window.
Cut through
stone and bring in something modern. And so you saw quite a bit of that. Some new construction, which was interesting to look at because they used...
Not stone.
They used concrete block.
Mm.
Huh.
For their exterior
walls. And then that would
walls.
Get stuccoed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They built
a lot of rectangle there, right? Just like
everything's rectangle. No curves. Nothing rounded.
All very squared.
Very
off. Right. Interesting. They sounds like they build things for the long play there. If you're building a cinder block house, you're going to take all the three little pigs could live there forever.
At once.
At once. They'd have to because of the hay house that went away. And so when you looked at that though, you said they're all stone. There's no copper trim.
I don't remember. I mean, I didn't study it that close because I couldn't.
I can't help but think you couldn't even get a thatched roof here, right?
I'm sure you could if you really wanted one.
But it would take logistically that would be difficult. And then who would build it? Because it's not. I mean, I can sincerely say I've never seen one in person.
What?
A thatched
roof.
Trying
to think. Oh. I think there is a house in Goshen that has a thatched roof.
You're gonna have to stalk that house, Joel.
It was a hay bale house, so they built their walls out of hay bales.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, like the structure.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get. What do you mean?
The structure is hay bales. It's how it's insulated, and then there are. I believe there's studded walls on the interior, but
it's the exterior. Hay bales.
Stuccoed, I think.
They have to like shoe horses away and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Just chewing on that thing. Like,
you must mean, you mean they, doesn't the hay deteriorate and go away? And Joel's like, hey, don't ask me. I didn't build that.
I would think it would,
I would
compress over time.
I wouldn't do it personally, but it's been a while since I've even looked into it. It's a thing.
It's kind of like a, it's a thing. Yeah. I don't know how to put it, I guess. So they, I mean, we'll move on, but like literally they use the hay bales as if they were bricks.
More or less, yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Did you just look it up?
No.
Oh.
I was just looking at the...
What?
Yeah, it's all just straight and then painted. It looks like painted...
gutters and downspouts.
Yeah.
What are we talking about now?
Because I was asking about the trim.
They use copper.
Oh, copper. Gotcha. I was like, suddenly we had two...
I just don't smoke around the hay house. I mean, you know.
Definitely.
And then just a lot of like, it looks like step flashing almost, mm-hmm. or some sort of...
What's a step flashing?
Step flashing on roofs is the, it's metal. Well, we use like a galvanized metal cart, maybe 7-8 inches long, and it's 4 inches by 4 inches. So it's bent into an L.
Okay.
4 inches up, 4 inches out. And you put it under your shingles as you're going, stacking it on the top of the next shingle, but overlapping the cart underneath it. That creates a waterproof.
Right. Well,
more, it keeps more the water out.
Yeah, right. Because the water cascades over each scene.
Now with grace and zip tape and things like that, there's ways of sealing that, and then you step flash.
Right. So you'd seal, put the step flash on,
yep.
then put the shingle on. Is that where you can see a little bit of it sticking out
mm-hmm.
over time?
Typically, yeah.
Yeah. And so you can make that copper-ish or copper look.
Well, you can do that out of copper. It's more expensive, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It looks cool. Because copper, we often talk about like materials that age and then the age is meaningful.
Right.
To the
look. That's more it's to also, the long play.
It's also protective.
Yeah.
When they patina, like when copper turns green, that's protecting the copper.
Right.
And it looks cool.
And it looks cool.
I saw a copper sink again and I don't know. It's cool, but I don't know about function.
It functions. As long as you maintain it properly, it's fine.
Right.
You just can't put copper cleaner on it.
We'll get on a tangent. Maybe next time we come back, let's talk about all the things that we can make out of copper. But that's the show. We've run out of time. Thanks for listening. This has been Measure Twice.
Podcasts by Federated Media.